morning, St. Paul's. Will you please take a moment and extend peace to those around you? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, you're all alone, Jack. Good morning. Please be seated. Good morning, St. Paul's and Plato. I am happy to see all of you. Are there any announcements, joys, or concerns today to share? Okay, then will you please join me in your call to worship? God is calling. Do you not hear? Do not confuse the siren calls of the world for God's call. Do not confuse the values of this world for God's values. Your words and your deeds are known to God. You were known to God before you were born. And will you please rise and join us in singing our opening hymn, The Joy of the Lord, number 541. Please join me in the prayer of invocation. We have come together, listening, God, because you have spoken your word of summons and welcome. We are drawn irresistibly to the promise of your presence and by the persistence of your call. Speak to your servants here in ways we can understand. We want to hear the message you intend for us. We want to listen, not because someone else needs to have it to hold them, but because we ourselves are needy sinners. Your expectations of us are high and holy. We tremble before you, eager for the heavens to be opened in our midst for our transformation. Amen. Lord, through your Son, we accept the pardon that you give us on a daily basis. We ask you to bless us as your followers and that you encourage us in our walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's readings are dedicated to the memory of Renee Nicole Good, wife and mother of three children, killed last week, and the many people in our state afflicted by the violence of current events. And we also pray for the good of our state of Minnesota and our country, and pray for peace and justice. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied exultation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing disease and every sickness among the people. Here ends the word of the Lord.
James, thank you for your clear and understanding reading of today's scriptures. Good morning, St. Paul's. I'm happy to see all of you today. Thank you for braving the cold and the snow and coming out. And thank you for your invitation for me to spend some time worshiping with you over the next few weeks. Particularly, I want to say that I am grateful for Pastor Al last weekend, who stepped in for me while I was both up north and dealing with a stomach bug. And I am grateful to all of you who have stepped in and welcomed me and gotten a hold of me from the church office. I appreciate all of it. I know Pastor Brian gave you a little biography about me a few weeks ago, but I think sometimes, as I know, we have a little bit more curiosity about people coming to preach. I thought I would assuage some of those questions you might have. My name is Becky Bartholomew, and I am a member in discernment in the United Church of Christ throughout the Minnesota Conference, which means that I am on my way to being ordained as a UCC pastor. I'm also a full-time seminary student at the United Theological Seminary in the Twin Cities, and I have just finished my pastoral internship with New Journey United Church of Christ in Hutchinson. And so I am hoping that my path to ordainment will be within the next year, year and a half. I grew up in rural southeast North Dakota in a devout German Roman Catholic family. And maybe you know families like mine. We never missed church on Sunday, ever. Ever, ever. We used to tease, this is sounding a little rough, but we used to tease amongst us kids that we would have to be bleeding out of our eyeballs to miss church because our dad was pretty strict and our mom was too. Thankfully, none of us were ever in that predicament. I grew up in that family. We were always involved in the church. We never missed holy days of obligation. We did pretty much everything that a family could do to be involved in our church. So church was a way of life growing up for me. And then over the years, as I grew in my own relationship with God, I switched from Catholicism to the ELCA. As you'll get to know me in a few weeks' time together, I have a bubbly, boisterous personality, and all of the conversations I had with our priests and everybody when I was growing up and the solemnity of Catholic Mass, it just didn't feel like me. And so the ELCA felt a little bit more like home, but it wasn't until I discovered the UCC denomination where it all just kind of clicked spiritually for me. Everything, personally, spiritually, my Christ-led faith at home in my body and in the creation all around me, and the United Church of Christ seemed to encapsulate that very well. And that's what leads me here. Last January, a year ago, I received a leave of absence from my job, which is English teacher. I've been teaching for over 20 plus years, most recently at Buffalo Lake Hector Schools and Stewart, sorry. And even though I have loved teaching for 20 some years, I felt this call into ministry started 10 years ago. And as everything aligned, I was blessed with positive and growth-centered bosses who a year ago said, "Becky, just do it. We will find you a sub." And with their blessing, I was able to start seminary full-time and chasing this professional and spiritual path. Everything has aligned for it to happen now. At 52 years old in my life, I never thought that I would be taking this kind of journey and this switching this life path that I'm on. The clergy and the congregation at New Journey Church in Hutchinson has taken my hand, and they have helped me step joyfully into this ministry, and they've been stepping along with me as well, as has Pastor Brian here in Plato. I have been able to kind of chase this dream in the past year because I have the support of my own two children who are launching into their adult lives. My daughter Ellie graduated from Bemidji State University last spring and is now working for United Health in Human Services. And my son Baylor is a full-time artilleryman in the United States Army. Both of them are doing exactly what they wanted to be doing, and they are excited and happy and launching, and as a parent, it doesn't get much better than that. Other than when they have both looked at me and said, "Okay, Mom, you get to chase your goals now too." And so that brings me here. Add to that my immediate support network, which is my housemate and friend of 35 years, Jack, who's sitting up here. You'll see him over the next couple weeks, as well as my two dogs, Annie and Tank. And well, I couldn't ask for better blessings moving into this profession. And I hope that gives you just enough of a background to understand where I'm coming from. And maybe even as you hear me preach over the next few Sundays, I might sound a little bit like an English teacher asking you to think about something a little bit more deeply than normal. And that's just part of this parcel and package. Either way, I am excited to be here today, and I'm glad that you've invited me to be here for the next few weeks. Please, after church, if you have questions, ask them. I am an open book, and I'm happy to get to know all of you as I try out this new profession of mine in the way the Spirit leads me. Now, today in our gospel, when I saw what the reading was for today, I laughed because it mirrors my own story in certain ways. I found really good company in this big life change that I'm going through because I'm doing exactly what Jesus asked some of the guys in his path to do in today's gospel reading. We can probably picture these two sets of brothers, these fishermen. It was how they sustained their lives, fishing. It was what they knew. And in fact, in James and John's cases, it wasn't just a livelihood, it was a family business. Complete probably with family history, maybe some nostalgia, maybe some pride in something that their family had done. And in Matthew 4 today, we see that. We see that in action as Jesus comes along and he sees Simon Peter and Andrew first. And he calls out to them, it says in Matthew, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And it's this next part that gets me every time I read this. It says, "And they left their nets at once and followed him." At once, immediately. And off they went with him. And shortly after that, we find out about James and John and their dad Zebedee. And Jesus comes upon them while they're fishing. And he calls out to James and John, "Come. Come with me. Follow me." And the scripture tells us immediately they followed him, leaving both the boat and their father behind. Imagine. "Drop your nets," Jesus said. "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of humans, of souls." And from there, Jesus traveled out through the region of Galilee and started announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. And he was healing people and giving them hope in areas that they had not had before. Can you imagine the shock of Peter and Andrew and James and John and even Zebedee, their dad, as some random guy walks up, quickly gains their trust, and tells them, "Drop everything. You're coming with me. Leave the life you know, leave the security you have, leave your family lineage, and come with me." And they do drop their nets and off they go. And subsequently, can you imagine those first people experiencing the utter love and joy and acceptance that they were receiving through Jesus and his teachings and his growing band of disciples and their teaching and their learning? Imagine being with that group. Imagine being Peter and Andrew and James and John and realizing our lives have gone from fishing to being part of this, what we would now call Jesus movement. Seeing this joy, seeing the sick become well, seeing the miracles. They knew what they were witnessing was God-given. And they knew that they needed to take that exact joy that they experienced in their few short years with Jesus and learning from him. And they needed to extend that after Jesus' death. They were fearing for their own safety, their own lives as followers and spreaders of the gospel. But they knew that they had to keep following Jesus' path, spreading it, letting a ripple effect create what became the new church. And so they did. The Jesus movement, as I called it, which wasn't even called Christianity yet at that point, grew. And along the way, a powerful, contemptuous man named Saul, on a path to Damascus, experienced his own awakening to Christ and the good news. He changed his life then and there to say he dropped his nets on that road to Damascus. He dropped those nets, so to speak, and he, just like Peter and Andrew and James and John had done years before him, he dropped it all and became a leader and a follower of Christ. He traveled widely, befriending and teaching and sharing with the burgeoning church. His ministry started just 10 years after Jesus' crucifixion, roughly, give or take. And in the grand scheme of history, 10 years is nothing. It's a blink of an eye. It's not much time at all. But by 55-ish AD, when Paul was in Ephesus, he wrote today's reading from 1 Corinthians as a letter to the Corinthians, who were, for lack of a better word, mucking it up. He wrote to them, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, please live in harmony with one another. Let there be no divisions in the church. Be of one mind, united in thought and process." Yeah, within those short years after Jesus' death, the growing Christian church was starting to see some fractions. And in fact, those fractures showed up in the factions of the church. And that is what Paul is addressing. He's saying, has Christ been divided into factions? Come on. We are here just to preach the good news, not using clever speech, not manipulating it to our limited human understanding. Yet, the question kept coming back to, what is that good news? And how do we start figuring this out that we can share it with everyone? And how, within such a short time after Jesus' death, had it gotten mucked up so fast? Well, that's where we humans come in, with our limited understanding and our trying to find words to encapsulate something as awe-inspiring as God and Jesus and forgiveness and everything else that came. God's powerful, unconditional love, revealed through Jesus, it offers things like salvation and forgiveness. And it offers a new way of being, and it is focused on making all things right through a just and loving kingdom. Not just for our personal afterlife, but transforming lives and society by living our own lives in grace and peace. It's an epic story when we think about it, God's relationship with humanity. And we are called to embrace both the divine and the everyday in our lives. And he wants us to call others to act in that kingdom as well. Some things to remember about this, some things that drew in the fishers and made them leave their lives behind, are the fact that God's love is radical. It just starts from God's initiative, a love that is for everyone. It is not earned, it is given, which was something that people struggled to wrap their brains around back in Jesus' day. And they still do today. And in fact, Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection also demonstrates God's love, offering us forgiveness and reconciliation and a path to a life like Christ, one that we gathered from his teachings, his rebukes, his encompassing love, his literal death. Yes, he died after he lived for everyone. And we can have whatever opinions we want about that as humans. We can read the Bible and look for all sorts of rules and regulations and methods by which that good news can apply to ourselves, to other people, maybe not to some other people. But the truth is, we don't get to manipulate that love. That radical love is given to everybody. And God, who never has to prove anything to any of us, gave us his only son so that our human minds could conceive that radical, abiding love. The best we can do is look to Jesus' examples. And we can let God's acceptance and God's forgiveness and holy open love flow through us, out into every person and to all creation around us, like a ripple effect. That can be hard to do sometimes. Because when we think about it, in our everyday lives, we've spent our lifetimes living a certain way, most of us. Our heritage, our culture, our societal norms are all part of the fabrics of our being. If you think about it, perhaps you grew up learning how to pray a certain way. Maybe you and your family like to think a certain way? Are you the optimist in the room? Are you the pessimist? Are you the realist in the room? Perhaps we grew up judging a certain way. Perhaps we grew up parenting a certain way, or working a certain way, or cheering a certain way, even at ball games, or possibly even voting a certain way. What God is asking us to do every single day, maybe along with and maybe in spite of the certain way we've always been doing things, God's asking us to focus, to drop those nets that we've been clinging tightly to, that way of life that we know. God is asking us to put aside our human understanding, to soften, to find our kindness, to reject our rage towards others. Sure, we can be frustrated, we can be angry, we can be confused, we can be hurt, we can be all of those things. But simply, we are asked every day to drop our nets, to let go of any harmful human habits or rituals we've developed, to remember the faith of Peter and Andrew and John and James and even Zebedee letting his sons go, and Paul. And we are asked to extend that God-given grace from ourselves and out into others, trusting that God's love will ripple out from Plato into this world. Which might seem pretty small. Yet we have our opportunities here in Minnesota right now, in which we can soften and not choose rage and extend that love and that grace. I want to end with just a statement from last week's Sermon Seeds on the UCC website, written by Cheryl Lindsay, who is a regular contributor. Her message rings true in Minnesota at the moment. Cheryl says, "There is nothing benign about stealing freedom, agency, and autonomy. A cage lined and littered in luxury remains a prison. Exile disconnects culture, heritage, tradition, resources, and relationships. Emotional, social, financial, and mental harm deprives one of safety as assuredly as physical peril. Further, anything that restricts full and abundant life runs contrary and in opposition to the kingdom of God. The Holy One reigns with justice and righteousness." And so as we go forward into this week, everybody, please let us be reminded to soften and to share and to remember that there are people around us who may be feeling restricted and who, through that radical love of God, deserve to feel full and abundant life. And may our daily actions be a ripple effect, especially for those who need it most. Will you please grab your hymnal and open to the front cover and join me in reciting in the 1981 UCC Statement of Faith on the right-hand side. We believe in you, O God, Eternal Spirit, God of our Savior Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek to in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteousness, will declare through prophets and prophets. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. And will you please turn to hymn number 118 and join in singing His Name is Wonderful. St. Paul's, will you please take a deep breath and join me in this time of prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you join us here. Fill this space. Let us know your presence. Let us feel your joy. God, we ask that you send blessings down upon Minnesota. Lord, I ask that you bless our community, our state, our homes. Lord, help us be free from civil unrest. Help us soften. Help us find your kindness. Help us extend that in a ripple outside of Plato. Lord, I ask that you send down your blessings on those who are raging right now, those who are feeling unsafe, those who are afraid. God, guide us every day to be the Christians you hope for us to be. Help us extend our love. Help us drop our nets and live how you want us to. Lord, I ask that you send blessings of healing down to those who are affected by illness right now. We have many surrounding us. Please, Lord, bless those who are ill and bless their caretakers. Lord, we also ask for prayers and blessings upon those who are in long-term health care. Again, Lord, please bring them your comfort. Please help them be pain-free. And please bless the caretakers of those we love. Lord, I ask for safety for those of us who are out in the cold and the snow in the coming week. Lord, may your heat, may your fire be within and without as people are trying to navigate, working and living in conditions that are dangerous. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor Brian and his wife Glynis and the respite that they are receiving and enjoying in their time down south. I ask that you bless the people of St. Paul's in their absence so that everyone can come back together refreshed in February upon their return. Lord, we offer up these prayers as well as the ones that we hold silent at this moment. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and for your comfort. And will you all please join with me as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As you enter and leave this space, we have our offering at the back of the church. Please give as you are able. And at this time, will you please join in the doxology, number 815, in your hymnal. We thank you for our offertory gifts. We ask that you bless them and that they are put to the use that is needed best to serve your kingdom. Will you all please join me in the offertory prayer found in your bulletin? We have heard you calling us, loving God, in the cries of your children, cries for bread, for justice, for relief. We have seen you beckoning to us amid the corporate greed and social distortions of our day. We have felt the pain of sisters and brothers caught up in damaging relationships that violate your holy temple within them. We want to help, and we believe your church can be Christ's healing presence for them. Show us the way to be messengers of your gentle judgment and powerful good news. May our offerings be used for the transformation of church and society, individuals and groups. Amen. And singing number 506, I'd Rather Have Jesus. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord's face turn toward you and give you peace. Amen.